We're looking at Psalm 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. This word chastening to be what I believe the Scripture means when it speaks about chastening. The sons of God, the Scripture says, if a man is a son of God, that he will be chastened. And that's the thing that the Lord will do with His children. Well, what is it that the Lord does to His children? Is the Lord just out here causing them pain because they did something wrong? I mean, is He bringing trouble on us because we didn't do something? Or he wanted us to do something and we didn't do it? I mean, is that the picture the Scripture would lead us to believe? Or is it that the Lord teaches His children? And if you look through the Scriptures, you'll find that this word that's used for chastening is often used for teaching. It does mean that the Lord is constantly engaged with His children. I believe it's in the book of Hebrews says, you know, our fathers, they chastened us according to their pleasure, but the Lord for our profit. Now, the Lord does all the things that He does with His children for the purpose of leading them in the proper path. And He brings troubles into our path, not on account of something we have done or should have done and didn't do, but He brings troubles into our path to guide us into the proper way. Just like I was sharing there a moment ago about the chastening that is brought about when you have to deal with aggravating people. Because the Lord would teach you what an aggravating person is. And He would teach you then to look in the mirror and see yourself to be exactly that way. So the Lord is constantly teaching His people. And the Lord in this prayer, and of course David in this prayer, nobody wants the Lord to be angry with them. I mean, even the Lord Jesus Christ as a man, when He hung on Calvary's cross and He intended and purposed to do so, yet as a man, He underwent the anger of the Lord, the wrath of God poured out upon Him so that we might not have that wrath poured out upon Him. But how did He react to that? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So you see, He underwent and felt and knew exactly what it was to be a man under the wrath of God. And no man wants to be in that position. I mean, even if, you know, even when your parents told you, they said, now I'm giving you this whipping for your own good. Now everybody wants what's good for them, don't they? But I can't ever think of a whipping that I was glad to get. And that's the way it is with most of the lessons that we learn in life. They're not really the things. You know, we wanted things to work out like we wanted them to work out. And we didn't want them not to work out the way we didn't want them to work out. But the Lord often causes things not to work out like we wanted them to work out. And we didn't like that.
I mean, a man's a liar if he says he lacks all the things that go haywire in his life. But yet, by the grace of God, as He leads us and teaches us, we can look at those things and say, thank you, Lord. You know, what a mess I would have made of things had it not been this way. But yet, you know, when a man is in the midst of the battle, he can't be concerned about, you know, philosophy. Philosophy is not a great thing when you're knee-deep in alligators. I mean, somebody can be telling you everything's going to be all right, but when the alligators are snapping at your feet, you're trying to fight the alligators. And so it is. That's the place. It says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Because, you know, oftentimes we feel that the Lord is removed from us. And we don't want that. I mean, we want constantly to be walking with the Lord in green pastures, do we not? And everything besides still waters. Everything's calm and nice and good. But the fact of the matter is that our days are not spent like that as a general rule. Now, He does bring us to walk beside still waters. And He does do that. But it's not always, and it's not every moment, because we wouldn't appreciate those times if it wasn't for the other times. And so, that is we see, I believe, the anguish of heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as He walked among men as a man, and He underwent, and He knows what it is to be tempted in all points like as we are. He knows the feelings. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because He understands exactly the ways of a man. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Now, when I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's hard for me to think of Him as being weak. But the Scripture says He became weak for our sake. Surely, He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, when a man is bowed down under great sorrow, he's not strong, is he? I mean, can a man be walking in great sorrow and still be strong? No, he's not strong. He's maybe upheld by the Lord, but he's weak. Because sorrow is designed to make men weak. Because sorrow is designed to drive men to Christ. I mean, that's the purpose of sorrows in our life, is to cause us to call out to Him. The Lord Jesus understands that. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My bones are out of joint. We read in Psalm 22 this very same concept. My bones are out of joint. I'm sore worked. My bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. I'm hurt. But Thou, Lord, how long? O Lord, hear me. A man who's never prayed and wondered if the Lord was ever going to hear him has probably never really prayed. You know? I mean, a fellow that just prays and everything just falls into place every time and everything works out is probably not being chastened very much or exercised by the things of God. My soul is also sore vexed, but Thou, Lord, how long, dear Lord, will it be? Does not the man who is seeking the Lord, desiring the Lord, I mean, he wants the presence of the Lord, but he doesn't necessarily always feel the Lord's presence. Return, O Lord. Deliver my soul. O save me for Thy mercy's sake. Now, when the Lord prayed, O save me for Thy mercy's sake, He was praying that prayer for our sake. See, every prayer that he prayed for in our behalf. He underwent these things, not for his own sake, not for his own his own self, except insofar as he ministered unto us, because he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? Now you know death is, the Lord told Adam that in the day he ate this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would die. And death is the antithesis of the Lord. Now the Lord ordained death. The Lord made death. Death comes because the Lord brings it. Now some people get all shocked if you said that. But he said, behold, I kill and I make alive. I, the Lord, do all these things. He is the one who designed death for the purpose, and it is the antithesis of the life that is in him. He lives, and men don't have that life. We have the seed of death within us, and we are dead men apart from the life that he gives. And so, in death, there is no remembrance of thee. That is, in the way that man is going, there's nothing that he has to look forward to in himself. Because, you know, it doesn't make any difference how great a man is, or how much of a pillar of the community he may be, or how many good deeds he may have done. Death will bring an end to all of that in this life. I mean, we will be shown to be exactly what we are when we lie cold and still. And there's no praises coming from the lips of a dead man. He can't do it. There is none. And so death is not the thing we desire. Now, we may desire to be rid of these earthly bodies, and there is as Paul said, oh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the older that we get and the further we go down the road and all of the various heartaches and troubles that invade our life, you know, it's not uncommon to hear an older person who has had many illnesses and has troubles and whatnot in their life in later years to say, well, I'm ready to go. Sometimes he may don't even know the Lord, but they're just ready to be rid of this old body of clay. But I'm telling you that in death disrobes all men. And there's nothing in death that is helpful to men, except as the Lord uses it as an avenue to bring us out of these old carnal bodies. And he changes us into that which is perfect. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. Dead men don't praise the Lord. That's why the Lord said, let the dead bury their dead. He said, men are, they're going to die. I mean, when you go by the cemetery, you won't hear any praises coming out unto the Lord. Now, one day I believe you may. You know, when the day of the resurrection, when the Lord brings his people forth from the grave, I believe there'll be shouts of joy and praise unto the Lord. But you won't hear anything because the dead don't do anything. They don't praise God. And who can delight in that? I mean, are you looking forward to laying in the grave? You telling a lie if you said you did. No, you're not. No man can look forward to that. But oh, the only reason that we consider death to be a blessing is that we understand that the Lord is pleased to raise his people unto life, because it's in life that men praise God, not in death. I'm weary with my groanings. All night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Think of the griefs and heartaches and troubles that the Lord underwent. Now, you know, all of us like for people to approve of what we're doing, do they not? And especially if we know that what we're doing is for their benefit. And think of this, the Lord Jesus, when He walked among men, He came in order to benefit men. That was the reason that He came. He came to do good. And yet He was rejected. And who was He rejected for? He made men. He made them just to be just exactly like they are. But He says, I'm weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Now, He was acquainted with grief. He bore our sorrows. He suffered in our behalf. And He was consumed. He says, mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. His eyes, He says, they're dried up. I can't see. I'm being overcome by the tears that flow from my eyes. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. You know, it doesn't make any difference how strong a man may be. If he has enough enemies, they're going to make him weak. They're going to bring him down. They're going to, you know, it's, when I was a kid, I was just had a kind of a cruel streak, but I used to like to play with ants, but I would like to catch these old big red ants. Yeah, they're called red velvet ants. I think we call them cow killers, and you don't see many of those around anymore. But used to when I was a kid, they was all over the place, and I used to like to catch one of them and put him in an ant, stir up the ant bed, and then drop him in there. And of course, he was way bigger than all those ants, and he could have beat a bunch of them. But they always won because there was more of them than there was for him to be able to fight. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He did indeed triumph over all His enemies, but He felt the sting of every one of them. Now, He triumphed. He brought captivity captive. He destroyed His enemies. But don't think for a moment that He did not feel the pain that they inflicted as He was rejected of men. Even those whom He loved, even His own disciples, didn't stand up for Him. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, here He is in this before this Sanhedrin, before Pilate, not a voice in the crowd. Not one. And they were there. Peter and John were there. They didn't say anything. And I believe, you know, He said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Those whom I walked with, those whom I taught, those who expressed their love to me and I expressed my love to them. They abandoned me. The Lord Jesus Christ knows what it is to suffer at the hands of men. Not just physical suffering. Now that's the thing that's played up in the minds of most, you know, times when you talk about the crucifixion and people talk about how gory it was and all that stuff. And that's all true. But dear brethren, know this, that the greatest sufferings that Christ underwent did not come from the nails driven into His hands. They didn't come from the crown of thorns that was put on His head. But the greatest sufferings that Christ underwent was in bearing our sins and carrying our sorrows as He felt every pain and every pain and every rejection and every heartache that could possibly man could ever know. And He waxed old
because of his enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Now, isn't that what he said to the Pharisees? He said that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said, for there be many in that day who shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not do many wonderful things in thy name? And he said, he shall say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. And so he says here, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Now we think of iniquity as being Hitler, Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, those are iniquitous people. That's iniquity. Terrible sin. But how did the Lord describe it? He said, when you saw me hungry, and you turn me away. And you see, those that think of their own righteousness, they look at their good deeds and they say, well, we've done all these things. That's what they said. They said, well, Lord, when did we not do these things? We've done good things. He said, when you did not do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you didn't love my people. You see, the workers of iniquity are those who are set against the people of God. They're set against the way of God. They may do many good things. The world is full of people that do good deeds, good things. Oftentimes, maybe even putting to shame those that profess the name of Christ. But that doesn't change the iniquity that the Lord sees in them if it is not that which is done for the glory of Christ. See, nothing is pleasing in the Lord's eyes that's not of Christ. That may make a difference how good it is. It doesn't make how you design or think of it. See, I look at the things some people do and I just think, well, this is great. You know, the Lord will, you know, take consideration of that. But then when I get to seeing what the Scripture says, I say, well, no, he won't take any notice of it at all. Because if it's not done for the glory of Christ, for the benefit of God's people, then it's of no use. And it is that which the Lord said was iniquity. The Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. He will. Why? Because if you ask anything in His name, He heareth you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't come in the name of another, did He? He came in His own name. And the Lord said to Him, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. The Lord has heard the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. That is, let their judgment come upon them swiftly. And surely that is the thing the Lord would desire. Now, men don't like to think of that aspect of the Lord. The Lord came into the world to perform two things. To bring justice to those whom He underwent their sentence of death, and to destroy those for whom He did not. And He has accomplished both. He said, I speak unto them in parables, that seeing they may see not, in hearing they may hear not, but to those to whom it is given, they shall see. And so it is, dear brethren. The Lord has hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Now who's sufficient for that? Who among us can say,
Oh, well, we deserve to know, or we had the inside track, or we were taught these things from a child, or whatever. And that's the reason the Lord showed them to us. No, dear brethren, it's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. And we see that mercy displayed right here in this psalm. He said, the Lord has heard my prayer. He said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given them to me. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. And I believe that suddenness is when men look upon Christ and they fall upon their faces and recognize that He is the Lord of glory. That He is indeed that one who is worthy to be praised.